Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I did okay this morning in Sunday school as far as not having any drainage and all, but now, lo and behold, it's starting right when I'm getting ready to preach. But Brother Mike was, maybe this will clear things up a little bit. Brother Mike was talking about that, what'd you call that thing your grandchildren have?
Scooter.
Years ago, my son had a skateboard. Had a skateboard. He made it look so easy. He could jump on that thing, and I mean, he really had that thing mastered. And I thought, old dad can try that too. If he can do it, I can do it. I jumped up on that skateboard and immediately went airborne. I don't think I have ever hit the pavement as hard as I did. I thought it broke every bone in my body. And I looked up, and guess what I saw? No, I didn't see stars. I probably should have. But there was standing Carol laughing, thought it was funny. This woman's got a bizarre sense of humor, church. She laughs at you when you get hurt. So I decided that's it on the skateboard. I'll just stick to driving. Okay, Genesis chapter 5, verse number 24. Sorry for this morning. Verse number 24. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. I'm preaching this morning on the thought, missing in action. Missing in action. Enoch was actively involved in walking with God. He was actively involved in serving the Lord. But all of a sudden, he was not, the Bible says. In other words, he's missing in action. In the course of his faithfulness, walk with God, God took him to heaven without dying. He was taken to glory. He puts us in mind of Elijah. Both Old Testament saints, both were privileged to see death robbed. But anyway, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Missing in action. I want to preach this morning on that thought. Father in heaven, bless the reading and Lord, the preaching of your word now. I pray, Lord, that you'll honor the spoken word today and help us to understand that as we deal with 2022, this could be the year that the church could be missing in action. Jesus could very well come back. We've preached it. We've prayed it. We've talked about it. And it's been on our minds. And Lord, whether or not it happens this year, it certainly looks like it could. And help us, Father, to live in light of that glorious, prophetic, dynamic truth. Bless the preaching of the Word of God today and minister the heart's needs. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every year about this time, namely the first of a new year, usually the first Sunday of January of a new year, we at least like to mention, if not preach an entire sermon around this thought, we do like to mention the fact that this could be the year of Jubilee. This could be the year of the trumpet. This could be the year that Christ returns. How many sermons have you heard? I don't know how many times I've preached on it. I've lost count. And preachers preach this all the time. He's coming back. We preach it. We believe it. And it is going to happen. Now, we don't know exactly when. But it would seem like things are shaping up such as never before for that event to occur. When Christ comes back, The church is raptured out. God's people are taken out of this mess we're in. They receive a glorified body. And while I think all of us would much rather soon be raptured than die, we don't know what will be the ending of our life, but there's a very good possibility that 2022 could be the year that the church is going to be missing in action. And that's what happened to Enoch. Now, unfortunately, a sermon with this title is regarded by too many people as just another reminder, but not to be taken too serious. Yes, we've heard it. Yes, I know what the Bible says. I know about 1 Thessalonians 4. I know about 1 Corinthians 15. I know about Titus 2. I know all of those passages. I know about John 14. But many times we're thinking, it still, I don't think, is going to happen. Well, people were talking that way before the flood happened. They've talked that way before. But our thinking does not alter God's word. So we can think anything we want to. But it is a prophetic truth. Jesus Christ is coming back. There's a lot that can be learned and seen from the example of this Old Testament saint whose name was Enoch. You know, it's a sad thing. We make plans for living, but few of us make plans for leaving. We plan everything about living. We have our wills. We save money. We plan our retirements. We put money aside. We think in terms of what we want to get. And I know that it hurts our pride, but if we would be honest today, probably all of us would have to admit our minds, our thoughts are consumed more with material things than spiritual needs many, many times. We plan for living, but many folks never spend any time planning their exit from this world. Never. Henry Ward Beecher, who was a famed preacher back in 1800s. He later changed from the preacher that he had been and embraced Darwinism and denied the deity of Christ. When he lay dying, his last words were, "Here comes the mystery." What a tragedy. What a waste. Queen Elizabeth died in 1603. Her final words were, "All my kingdoms for a moment of time." For a moment of time. The walk through life, could I say today, is lonely and treacherous without God. Lonely and treacherous. I mean, we hear nothing but bad things. We hear nothing but risks, but diseases, sicknesses. We hear nothing but bad things. I wouldn't encourage anybody to watch the news, though I have to admit I watch it. Fox News. But I'll tell you, you can't watch any news channel without hearing nothing but one line after line of nothing but bad things happening. It'll drive you nuts. Best approach is whenever you watch the news, make a beeline right straight for Scripture. It's either, and here's the point, right now, every single one of us in this building are engaged in one of two types of walk. Bible says Enoch walked with God. We're either walking with God or without God. Either or. There really isn't any fifth straddlers. We either are walking with the counsel of the ungodly or walking with the counsel of God. Psalm 1 talks about that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But keep reading. The wicked who are not walking with God, they are on a dangerous banana peeling, so to speak. The wicked are not so. They're in a fragile condition. But blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's the person that's blessed. And that's how every one of you this morning are walking. I know that's straight to the point. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. My, what a statement. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Can it be said of all of us today, before we die, we have this testimony that we please God? Or can it be said of us if Jesus comes before the rapture, do we have this testimony that we please God? That's a critical point. Enoch, by the way, in case some might wonder about not only his testimony, his walk with God, but what else did he do? He was a fearless preacher. You know, Enoch was a person that wouldn't have made it any more than one tryout at an average church candidate. He wouldn't have made it before one tryout. Why? Because his message was negative. His message would not have gone over very well. His message was about judgment. And who wants to hear about judgment in this age in which we're living, where everybody is toning it down anymore, not wanting to offend anybody, preaching mild things, smooth things, comfortable things? In the average church, when people come to church, they leave exactly how they came. Still the same. No commitment to change. But here's what this man did. The Bible says in Jude 15, here's how he preached. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I'm telling you, he throwed out that word ungodly several times, didn't he? You get up today and you preach about people being ungodly and they'll cut you off in a hurry. But my friend, the truth is what sets free. The truth. If the truth hurts, we need it to be hurt. If the truth gets our attention, we need it to get our attention. Because I'm telling you today, this is 2022, but I want you to know today, upon the authority of God's Word, people that are saved go to heaven. And people that are lost go to hell. That has not changed. There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. To save my life, I cannot understand why it is that so many, even independent Baptist preachers, have quit preaching against sin and hell. Some of them, you would think they almost had lace on. But my friend, we need to hear the positive and the negative. The best way to embrace the positive is to get rid of the negatives. And it's called repentance. Enoch wound up missing in action. And I do believe that this could be the year of the church missing in action. Now here's what I want to do. I want to toss out a threefold approach to what I want to say about Enoch. Okay? Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Let me build my thoughts around his walk. His walk. Number one, let's look at the timing of his walk. When did he start walking with God? Well, look at verses 21-22. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. He begat sons and daughters. The timing of his walk. He started walking with God when Methuselah was born. That's interesting. The Bible tells us nothing about the early years of Enoch. All we know, he was 65 years of age. Enoch became a father of a child, which he named Methuselah. And after that child was born, Enoch walked with God for the next 300 years of his life. What was it about the birth of that child that caused Enoch to come to faith in God? It appears, though I can't be 100% dogmatic, it does appear that the birth of Methuselah impacted him spiritually. Because we know that the walk with God's recorded from then on. So it had to have some kind of a bearing. Now, it may have something to do with the name of that child. Have you ever thought about that? You know what the name Methuselah means? It means when he is gone, it will come. That's what it means. When he is gone, it will come. Who's he? Methuselah. What's it? The flood. When he is gone, that's Methuselah, the flood will come. Now, I believe that got Enoch's attention. If you do your math, you find that Methuselah died the very year of the flood of Genesis in chapter 6. Chapter 6 through 8 of Genesis. Methuselah died the very year of the flood. Enoch was made to understand that the death of his son would signal the destruction of this world. The death of his son. When Methuselah died, the flood would come. So could it be he turned to God out of fear of judgment? Don't you imagine that every time that child developed the sniffles, old Enoch got nervous? He's probably thinking, oh, this could be it. It's happening. It would appear that Enoch came to God under the threat of judgment. But you know, that is a blessing when you stop and consider now that Methuselah may have been a symbol of approaching judgment, but Methuselah also was a symbol of the long-suffering love and grace of God. Why do I say that? Well, his age. Do you all know of anybody that's ever lived to be 969 years of age? Huh? I figured that. Not a comment, right? Neither do I. 969 years of age? That's what you would call literally a ripe old age. He lived to be the oldest of any living human being. And don't you find it amazing that his name means after he's gone it will come, but he actually lived the longest of any person. So, what we have here, you have a twofold message. You have a message that Enoch must have taken in. When my son dies, judgment's coming. But also his son lived to be 969 years of age, and that also says God was long-suffering, waiting in the days of the flood. God was long-suffering, and God had love and compassion. God wanted as many people in that ark as possible, and critics might say, well, that ark couldn't have handled everybody. Well, trust me, because you can trust God in this. If there would have been a need of a bigger ark or a fleet of arks, believe you me, God would have made that happen too. Because that's just like God to do that. If he can do one miracle, he can do any. I mean, if you can believe Genesis 1:1, you should be able to accept the rest of the Bible anyway. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Accept that and you can believe the rest of it. I mean, that's a pretty major work, isn't it? He created the heavens and the earth. But I don't want to deviate off of my message here. Now, how is he a symbol of mercy, grace, peace, well, his age? Now, there's a practical application that I would like to make here. I believe that God uses many events in people's lives to touch people's hearts and bring them to Jesus. I believe God uses different things. Of course now, when it comes to being saved, everybody that gets saved because they've heard, they've been exposed to the gospel, the word of God now. But you know, it's amazing how God uses different approaches to get people saved. In the case of Enoch, it took the truth of coming judgment. It took that truth. Sometimes people are touched when they think of hell. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Some people get saved when they think of hell and they don't want to go there. Some people react when they think of the love of God manifested at Calvary. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Other people think of their loved ones that have died and have gone to heaven. And they're overcome with a desire to be with them in heaven. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. Sometimes John 14 is all it takes. Others feel guilty because of their sin, and they're drawn to Jesus. John chapter 16, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit, has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The fact is, God draws. The word is preached. Regardless of what approach the Spirit of God may use, it still pans out to one thing we are brought to realize through the Scriptures. We're a sinner. And there's a hell staring us in the face. But Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary. Then if I will believe that and accept Christ and ask him into my heart, believing that he paid my sin debt, then God will save me. But sometimes the thought of hell drives people to the cross. Sometimes the love of God. Sometimes the thought of wanting to be in heaven with loved ones. But in all times, it's still basically the entrance of God's word is what brings light. But you know, the timing of his walk, I like that. The timing. At the time Methuselah was born, the Bible begins to record that he walked with God. I believe this morning. I believe that 2022 ought to be matched with a timing of a walk with God. This year, today, this is the second day of January. And the first church service of the brand new year. There's absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, it's good that you and I begin to embrace this new year with full assurance that, number one, we're saved. And secondly, committed to let this be the best year of our life in walking with God. You get to that point and it usually gets silent, like I predicted. Not too many people will amen that. Here's what you have. You have a general average, many people. We have a service like we're having this morning. And some people have made up their minds it's going to be business as usual for me. No commitments. I'm not going out on a limb. I'm not going to do any more than I've already done. Don't expect so much out of me. Now let me ask a question this morning. Am I being nosy or am I being truthful? I mean, seriously, think about that. Why is it that 5 or 10% do 100% of the work in any church? 10%. I don't like those statistics too well, do you? Everybody ought to be pulling the weight together. Everybody ought to equally love God. Everybody ought to be in love with Jesus. Everybody ought to love their church. Everybody, I mean everybody, because we're all in it together, ought to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and have the attitude, if I'm going to be missing in action this year, I want to have the bank account settled, my bags packed, my walk firm, my commitment real. I don't want for Jesus to find me dozing. Now, church, we need to hear just what I said. If I wasn't preaching the message this morning, I'd want another preacher to preach it. That's the truth. We're not playing games around here. This is serious stuff. We're having church for reason. After having said that, we have service tonight at 6. We have Bible study Wednesday nights at 7. Hey, it's good for all of us, right? How many people, by show of hands, have I already made mad? Number 2. Let me get now to the juicy part of this. The timing of his walk, he started walking when his son was born. I would say this. To raise a family, to raise children, to bring them up, we need all of God's help we can get. If anything ought to strike fear to young couples having kids, it ought to be, wow, now it's up to me to raise that child, and I need help from above. That's enough to wake anybody up, isn't it? Number 2, the testament of his walk. He walked with God. That says it. We're told that Enoch walked with God and he was not. I started to preach this morning on the subject, the walk and the was not. Or Enoch was and Enoch was not. Still turns out to be the same. It is said that, and I like the story of some child that put it like this. They stated it so clearly. They said that Enoch and God, they'd have their long walks every day. They'd walk, they'd talk, they'd fellowship. They did it every day. Can't you hear a child telling that? One day, they were out on that long walk. They kept walking and talking, and the Bible does say he walked with God. They kept fellowshipping, and finally, God looked down at Enoch and said, Enoch, you know, you're closer to my house now than you are yours. Come on, go home with me. Only a child can put it in such tender ways that ring the heart's bell. Oh, to be close to God. Oh, to walk with him. Oh, to know his peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, to know the joy within of knowing your sins are forgiven and to know that you're in active fellowship with God. You can't beat that. You can't get that through formal religion. You can't get that through just going through motions. That comes from pouring our hearts out to God. You know, this year ought to be the year of the Bible. But I'm not talking about, and I admire people that do this, that read through the Bible once every year. Praise God for that. If you're doing that, keep doing it. But you know what I think, though? I think if you and I would approach the Bible, not necessarily from the standpoint of speed reading it, of going through it in a year, but just slow down and prayerfully read through the books of the Bible, and ask God to help us with our understanding of those verses as we go, to maybe go out here to a good Bible bookstore and get a good commentary to read along with it, or if you don't know what commentaries to get, I can surely recommend a few. Have yourself a Bible dictionary. Have yourself a Bible concordance. Make this a year of the Bible. Like I was teaching this morning and like I'll be back on tonight, the book of Ephesians. You can take that precious book and you can see so many biblical gems that are the best approach to a new year. Understanding what we have in Christ. You can't beat that. Read through your Bibles as fast as you can, but like Philip one time asked that Ethiopian, understandest thou what thou readest? We need to start thinking more, reading more, praying more, studying more, and quit pushing our Bible aside and excuse ourselves and pat ourselves on the back and saying, well, I read my verses today. My friend, when the going gets rough and all the props are taken out from beneath our feet, we need more than a feel-good religion. We need to be anchored to the precious truths of our security in Christ. That's what will get us through, and nothing else will. When you're laying flat on your back in a hospital and the doctor has looked at you and said, you may not make it through this, we need more than a good feel of a religion then. We need more than that. In every single face I'm looking into right now, there's coming a time in your life. Either health will humble you, experiences of life will humble you, you'll face grievous issues in your life that no one short of God can help you through. We need to get as serious as we possibly can about our Bible, about our walk with God. And if the missing in action is true of the church this year, let's go up in action. So, we see here his walk. Word translated is interesting. He was translated. You know what translated means? It means to transfer. Transfer. It carries the idea of being carried across. One minute, Enoch was here, and the next minute he was with the Lord. However it happened suddenly, without warning. There are two ways we leave this world. The rapture or death. Two ways. The rapture, when that takes place, it's called a blessed appearing. Looking for our blessed hope. Looking for the blessed hope in glorious appearing. It's a comforting appearing. Comfort one another with these words. It's a stimulating appearing. He that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let me quickly say just a few quick things about the rapture. The rapture will be sudden. It'll happen before you know it. Twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? Who knows? A lot faster than blinking your eye, I'll tell you that much. That's how fast it's going to be over. Sudden. It's going to be selective. Don't think for a moment everybody goes up. No. Only the church of Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about the denomination, goes up. Only the saved people will go up. It's selective. If you're unsaved, you will be left. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you will, and here's the solemn thought, you will believe the lie that you might be damned. Can you get any more serious than that? When the Antichrist comes along peddling his doctrine, you look at him and say, oh, here's God. I'll believe him. You'll be given a spirit of delusion, according to what Paul said. That's how serious it is. And that's how selective it is. Only saved people go up in the rapture. And I'm not asking you today, are you a church member or how good you are? I'm asking you, can you remember a time that you know without a shadow of a doubt you got saved? Do you know that? If you don't know that, my friend, what in the Sam Hill are keeping you from getting saved? I mean, I can't believe it. Are you going to risk your soul forever? Are you going to wind up in hell forever? Are you going to let people in a church who you're thinking, if I go forward, they're going to think something of me. Well, let them think anything they want to of you. People whose hearts are right are going to think good about you. Are you going to let that keep you from getting saved this morning? Or folks, you that are watching out there, do you think life is a big game? Do you think we just live and die like an animal and that's it? Uh-uh. God created man in His image. Living soul. We're going to live forever. And not everybody, in spite of what liberals preachers say, will go to heaven. Ye must be born again. That's from the words of Christ Himself. It'll be sudden. It'll be selective. It will be serious. And it's going to be sad. Sad. There could very well be members in families, members of families associated with this church that will not go to heaven. That's why we preachers get up and we preach all the time, for heaven's sake, when you bring in your prayer requests, let's stick the names of unsaved people on that list too. You know there's something far worse than getting sick. It's going to hell. We need to be praying for lost loved ones. We need to be praying for family members. We need to be praying for neighbors. We need to extend our prayer list out there beyond just the physical. Then, in Ephesians, we need to have the prayer that Paul prayed. He prayed for their understanding, that they might understand more of those glorious truths. We need to pray for one another that our eyes of our understanding be opened, that we understand more the precious truth of God's Word. So pray prayers for the sick, pray prayers for the unsaved, but pray prayers for the saints. But how in the world can we pray for the prayers of saints that their eyes be opened when we're not willing to let God open our own eyes? When we come to an invitation this morning, it'll say a whole lot. Are people committed to God to the point to where on this, the first day of January, or the second day of January, the first month of a new year, are we willing today to come forward and say, Father, I want to commit my life to You today. I want to walk with God. When the Lord comes back, I not only want to be a part of the crowd that's going to be missing, but I will be missing in action because of my walk, my testimony, my commitment. My friend, if there's ever been a time in church history, in the history of this world, in the history of culture, to where the game's over, it's now. Life has gotten too serious. We don't know where we're going politically. We don't know where we're going economically. We don't know where we're going socially. But I can tell you this, according to the Bible, according to what you see happening today in many, many churches, many people aren't ready to meet God, and that's the worst tragedy. And today is a good day to settle it once and for all with the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked with God and was not, and that's the termination of His walk. Timing, testimony, termination. He was not. That's the termination. God said, now, your walk is no longer going to be down there. It's going to be up here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I'm going to pray in just a moment. How many today in this service, and if you're watching this morning, I know we can't see your hands of commitment, but how many today in this service would say, Pastor Peters, on this, the first Sunday of 2022, God spoke to my heart this morning about my walk for this year, about my testimony, and I want to slip a hand up right now in the air, and I want to ask you in the church to pray for me. Could I see your hand? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes. Others, Pastor, pray for me. Yes, sir. Others this morning, pray for me. This, the first Sunday of a brand new year, would you pray for me as my pastor? And I'll not call your names out, but we believe in pastoral prayer. Would you say, pray for me, pastor? I'll admit, my walk with God has not been as vibrant. And this could be the year of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And I want an improvement by God's help in my walk. Would you pray for me? Who else would raise their hands? Yes. Others? Yes. Yes. God bless you. Just a moment. We're going to have an invitation song, and I welcome the people of God to come today. If God spoke to your heart, we didn't have a watch night service last night, but we can have a watch day service today. Good way to start off a new year on an altar, asking God to lead our steps this year. He could come back, couldn't he? Are you here this morning and not really sure you're saved? Would you raise your hand right now and say, Preacher Peters, I need to get it settled. I can't take a chance any longer of losing my soul. I need Christ. Anybody? You'd raise a hand for prayer in this service. Anyone? Anyone? Father in heaven, if there's someone that's watching right now through the internet who's not saved, may they right now bow their head and cry out to God as a sinner. Say, Lord, be merciful to be a sinner. Come into my heart. I believe you paid my sin debt. Come into my heart and save me. I pray lost people would pray that prayer. And then those that have prayed that prayer, maybe they could give us a call or drop a line, send a note, postcard or something to let others know that they got saved. Maybe that happened just in this service. And then the person could just slip forward at this invitation and say, I just got saved while I was sitting on that pew. But Father in heaven, help us all that know you to be walking like we're expecting you to return any moment. Bless this invitation, Father. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike.